Toby, I'm not sure if I ever told you, there's more to a cliff than an edge. There's more to the cliff. There's more to the cliff than the edge. There's more to a cliff than the edge. Well, there's more to it. Don't jump off of it. Take a step back and enjoy the view. Something like
I'm
that.
enjoying.
Something like that. Well, folks, we missed you last week. We're back. This is a two-episode special of Continue Watching. For Winning Time, the Rise of the Lakers Dynasty. That is the amigo Toby from HR. My name is Nico Ramos. This is my son banging on the microphone. He's joining us for this episode. He has seen 0 minutes of Winning Time because he's got to wait at least another 17 years before he can try sneaking in watching that show. But we've got the episode 4 and 5 recap of Winning Time right now. Let's go. First of all, my fault. Sorry about last week, folks. We missed out doing an episode 4 recap. We'll talk about both episodes 4 and 5 on this week's show. Last week was my fault. This week, we're back with a two-episoder, and it should be fun. And we get to discuss a little bit more about the show. We get to, I guess, squeeze in two episodes of the show into one podcast recap. And I found out that there are people, at least a certain few, who listen to the podcast first before watching the TV show.
Oh, wow.
And in a previous pod, I said those people would be definitely be degenerates and should definitely be checked if they're serial killers. And no, they made sure to let us know on Instagram. They're like, "Hey, I'm perfectly normal. There are certain situations that don't allow me to get to watch the show right away, and I have a lot of time on my hands, and I want to listen to you guys and support you guys. Is that so wrong?" To which I felt bad and answered in my head. In my head, I answered, "Yes, that is wrong."
Why do that? It's such a good show. I mean, we are under no obligation to say that this is a good show, but it's a good show.
Oh, yeah, 100%. We're not getting paid by HBO to do this podcast, folks. I'm not sure how many people think that. I'm not sure how many people might have just automatically assumed that. First of all, we're not opposed to it. Hey, HBO, we'll gladly get paid for this. But in this case, we're not. Do we want you guys to go out and download HBO Go and watch this show and the wealth of other shows on the HBO platform? Of course we do. By all means, go do it. It's the legal way to do it. It's the proper way to do it. And it's the home of premier television for the last 20, 30, 40 years. I don't know how long HBO has been around, but ever since they started, they've been the home of premier TV. So yes, absolutely. Go and download HBO Go. Do we gain anything, lose anything by saying this is a show we don't like? No, not at all. If we didn't like it, we'd say it sucked. But we like the show.
We do.
Don't
we
spoil
do
it. Don't spoil it. I'm trying to look for Jamie's message. I know, like, there were a couple of people who said that okay, to explain, I am now living overseas and have no access to HBO Go or HBO Max because the UAE restricts it. Okay. So he kind of jumps through a couple of hoops in order
Oh,
to
damn.
watch the show, but obviously can get the podcast via Spotify. So that's a perfectly reasonable explanation. I think I can accept. There was another one. I think it was Jeff, who said, I want to support your podcast, and sometimes I have time for a podcast before I have time for a TV show."
Right.
I guess he puts this on during a commute or, when he's running. Plus, you can play the podcast in public. You can't watch Winning Time out in public. You can't just be like on a train, on a
it's
bus, just watching Winning
NSF.
Time. No. NSF everywhere.
Everywhere,
Not safe around humans. All right, how do you want to do this? We have two episodes to get through. We can talk about them in maybe as a couplet, just kind of like all together, or we can talk about episode 4 first and then transition into episode 5. I really leave it up to you.
Yeah, maybe we can just lump it together as one mega episode. That way I still win the bet. from 2 weeks ago, where I said that the cliffhanger would be Jack McKinney falling off his bicycle. I win the bet if we do it that way.
Yeah, if we only do episode 4, I win the bet because they extended Mr. McKinney's presence on the show as they should have into episode 5. So yeah, no, you win the bet. What did we bet on? Nothing, thankfully. But that's a good, I guess, place to start off on and really maybe just talk about the 2-3 episode arc of Jack McKinney.
Sure.
The character. We're going to have Marshall from How I Met Your Mother pretty soon kind of take over the reins as head coach of the Lakers here. But, you know, let's talk about Jack McKinney. Let's talk about the performance. He got an episode named after him. The one that we missed is Who the F is Jack McKinney?
Right.
What are your thoughts on a show that, you know, features Jerry Buss, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, some of the most famous people in basketball we've ever encountered in life, kind of going off on a pretty significant tangent and just really putting the spotlight and going ISO on Jack McKinney.
Right. I'm all for it. I mean, Jack McKinney's arc has been great, as short as it was. I'm sad to see him go, and we're probably not going to see him again outside of a wheelchair. But then, like we mentioned before, Tracy Letts, absolutely great performance. He's great in everything he does. And that's kind of what this show is showing us, that they're going to get some great character actor and just give him the ball for like 20 minutes and they're going to just nail it, right? I mean, this week we had Wood Harris.
Yep.
I mean, not to go on, we can go back to Jack McKinney a bit, but the Wood Harris from, of course, Above the Rim, from The Wire. Just a great character actor. They give him 10 minutes and he's great as Spencer Haywood, right?
Yeah, so he's not 6'8", but Wood Harris, so I forgive it.
Yeah. He's probably like 50 years old also.
Yeah.
But then, whack don't crack. Anyway, so Jack McKinney, he's been great. That whole scene where he's talking about, you know, his basketball philosophy, which, weirdly enough, was still applicable in 2003. Like, what he was saying, like, we wanted to move fast, pass the ball. That's...
Yeah, you know, eventually, it's just a matter of, how do you say it? The definition of what fast is, right?
Over the
course of, you know, generations. The Showtime Lakers, the highlights make it look like they played super fast. You cross-compare that to, you know, another famous fast team, the 7 seconds or less Suns.
Of course.
They also look super fast in comparison to who they're playing. You take either of those two teams or those eras and you put them against, I don't know, an average pace NBA team in 2022, and they'd look really slow.
Yeah.
But lots of exercising for Tracy Letts, if we can go back to him before you wrap up the Jack McKinney part of the conversation. There's lots of running by him in episode 4, and then obviously the biking scene in episode 5.
Yeah, painful to watch. I mean, that's why
the bike accident or just the running in general by Tracy Letts. Because to be honest with you, I think he was in much better shape than I thought the senator from Homeland would be in all these years later. You look at his face and it looks like a non-exercising face.
Yeah.
And he kind of pulled off that late 70s, 80s vibe of exercising in chino shorts, a belt, a polo shirt, and glasses on, and just jogging in them, and that being the exercise attire, he pulls it off.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is definitely that kind of guy, that old dude who you don't think has anything left in him, but then just...
Yeah, he left it all out on the floor. He left it all out on the floor. Last Jack McKinney, Tracy Letts question. Definitely a stuntman on the bike flip?
Oh, I hope so.
Definitely.
I hope so.
Definitely. Is it an actual stunt? Is that CGI?
Oh, I don't know.
Looks like an actual stunt into like a pillow, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like it's...
I don't think different. He was actually skidding across the concrete, but then I hope not. There are ways to do that, like digitally, but it looked good. I didn't want to look, actually.
I own a bicycle. and right. I'm trying to get back into the biking, just like as exercise. I was biking quite a bit before my wife gave birth, and then this guy who's making noise all over the podcast came around, and I haven't biked a lot since. Mm-hmm. I saw that scene just like about 2 hours ago, and I'm like, yeah, no, maybe I'm gonna sell my bike. Maybe biking's done. Maybe no more biking. Okay, we're finally done with our no basketball complaints.
Right.
They weren't really complaints. They were just kind of like maybe some tongue-in-cheek observations about there being not a lot of basketball in a basketball show in the first three episodes. Episode 4, episode 5, they're like, here, have all the basketball you want.
Right.
You were saying... You hear how excited my son is about all the basketball there was in episode 4 and in episode 5. But what did you think about the training camp? I would have gone with a Jerry, this is a closed practice as our opening quote had we recorded last week. Right. What did you think of the training camp footage and the juice delivery and the paper delivery by Magic and Kareem? Our entire time spent in that very seedy looking hotel owned by Jerry Buss out in some weird desert.
Well, it looks good, right? I mean, everyone looks like the actual guy they're playing. Like the way Magic passes the ball, the way Kareem does the skyhook. It's clean. It's legit. And you know that whole style of the show where they really have lots of cuts, lots of different cameras, lots of different film grains. That really helps edit out whatever flaws these actors might have. It looks good, right? The way they cut in and out of these shots, you don't see the ball go in right away, or you don't see Magic do it behind the back, and then it reaches the guy in one seam mistake. But then it does look good because of the magic of editing.
That's a great point that you brought up that maybe I wouldn't have noticed just like on my own. But because you're a director by trade, it seems like they made the investment early. They're right. Like, hey, we're going to do 15 unnecessary cuts between Magic and his mom talking about a bathtub using 7 different types of camera grains and film grains and editing filters or whatever the proper term is. We're going to do that now so that when we're doing it to hide the basketball stuff, no one's going to say, oh, why'd they do that? Everyone's going to say,
yes,
that's the style.
Exactly.
That's their style.
You're used to it at this point, and you don't even notice it anymore. Yeah.
It's impressive. It's impressive.
But that's not taking away from the actual quality of basketball being played. These are, I mean, they made a whole big deal about hiring a trainer, getting them to really copy the mannerisms, the way they move. And it does look accurate, if I may say.
It does. It's, dare I say, the best looking basketball sequences I've seen on a basketball show.
Right. Yeah.
Or on a basketball movie. Probably since what? Penny and Shaq in Blue Chips? I'm not even sure those were like well choreographed, but obviously just Penny dribbling and Shaq dunking was just super authentic. But no, I mean this blows what? The same dunk shot 7 different ways on Coach Carter being put in the film 18 different times. This definitely blows Channing Tatum not knowing how to play basketball at all and barely doing any basketball skill anything on Coach Carter in the entire movie. He was just there to look buff, look like an athlete, and throw out a couple of lines. Shout out Channing Tatum. This is just leagues and leagues above any of all that.
Right. The only thing I can think of is really Denzel versus Ray Allen. But then that had the emotional stakes, and that had the added gut punch of Ray Allen not knowing Denzel can actually play.
Yeah. and I will give this to Winning Time, though. He got games one-on-one.
Yeah. That's
much
true.
Easier. And it's not trying to replicate a play that we've seen 100,000 times, or players who just off of their shadow and silhouette, like we know, like, you know, if you just blurred it out, squinted your eyes and saw someone throw a full court bounce pass in that way, you'd be able to identify, oh, that's Magic Johnson, right? Someone in the street corner does a sky hook. You could tell they're trying to be Kareem. So shout outs to Winning Time. We had a lot of anxieties. This is great podcast quality, by the way. My son doesn't usually talk this much, but he's part of the conversation now. But yeah, no, anyway, you know, we had a lot of apprehensions about what the basketball would look like, and it's looked great, and it's looked fantastic.
It does.
And I love it.
What did you think of that, of course, that famous moment where Magic hugs Kareem? Did they get it right?
So we all know it's coming, right? We've all seen the video before. I was a little nervous because I was like, oh, you know, this is a great big moment between Magic and Kareem and their relationship. This is a pivotal point in their relationship. The entire episode 5 almost was really dedicated to getting to know Kareem a little bit more. We see flashbacks to younger Kareem. And I was like, oh, it's really going to all, you know, really coalesce into this moment of them hugging after win number one. And it happens. The Skyhook looked fantastic.
It does.
Solomon
it
Hughes does. Looked fantastic on the game-winning Skyhook. I got to
say. Doctor. Doctor Solomon Hughes.
Sorry. Dr. Solomon Hughes. Looked fantastic doing it. And I stood up when they shot it from below. He was like 10 feet tall, a little slow-mo. And I was just like, it's Kareem! It's
right.
Kareem! And then the hug, they beat the Clippers. That was a little extra special. I love the entire moment. Yeah. I love that entire moment. And also shout out to 2 Kobe Bryant cameos in episode 5.
Yeah.
There's a photo of him and LeBron to help introduce us to Spencer Haywood. And then there's, you know, young Kobe.
Baby Kobe, yeah.
And a Jelly Bean Bryant shout out. So that was cool. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. I really had fun with, you know, seeing him depicted in that way. But I love the moment. I think that they've been able to capture the seriousness of Kareem as a vet and the enthusiasm of Magic as a rookie in that moment and in episode 5. And it really got me more excited for the rest of the show. Oh. All right, back from the break because I put my kid down. If you're listening to this and you're wondering, well, what happened? My kid cried, as you possibly may have heard the start of. And then I went upstairs and then I put him down. He's taking a nap. He's okay now. The rest of the podcast will be Tylerless and a lot more sound audio quality on our end now. Okay, so we were talking about the basketball part of Winning Time and how it's really kind of kicking into full gear with episode 4 and 5. And it's done a lot of the setting of the table. It's done a lot of the introduction of the characters. Mm-hmm. And now it's time for us to really start experiencing things that we've seen before. Because a lot of the first 3-4 episodes were really about stuff that we had never seen before. We had read before, we'd heard about before, how Jerry Buss bought the team, his meetings with Tark the Shark, right? His frustrations with money, how they were trying to plan to make the Lakers franchise much more exciting, all of that stuff. We saw a lot of behind the scenes stuff. Now with episode 5, it's much more of, oh, okay, all right, we're watching them retell history now based off of stuff that we had some experience with. You know, the Kareem game winner for one, Paula Abdul, Paula Abdul and our introduction to her and the Laker girls, that's another thing. And, you know, I think we're really going to start kicking into high gear here and really experiencing a lot of the things that we know very well and are near and dear to us. And I think is the true challenge of this show is how do you redo stuff that we've seen video of in a way that's compelling and entertaining and, you know, won't get me to point out the inaccuracies of it. Because so far, I, again, have not cared for the inaccuracies.
Right. I guess one thing that they're doing differently is that they're adding that, you know, that extra context. For example, I had no idea that Magic and Kareem were beefing when that happened, right? I thought they were, I don't know, it's the first game, Magic's just a happy guy, they've been friends ever since, that's what I thought. Right. Apparently they were beefing before that, and so it just kind of changes the context of that hug and that whole celebration, if you know that they weren't exactly on the same page just yet.
Yeah, you know, we've seen and heard interviews about that moment before, and we've seen both Kareem and Magic talk about that moment, and you know, in a kind of jovial laugh about it type of way, in the sense that, you know, oh, you know, Kareem is quick to tell me, don't get too excited. It's a long season. There's 81 more of these or whatever. But the way that the show depicts the build up to that moment is really this kind of pulling of Kareem into the mix, the pulling of him into getting motivated to playing with the team, and you know, not just getting his 30-10,
right.
You know, and I think that that's why it was such a key moment in that, you know, that huddle prior to the home opener where he throws his hand in there and he's like, all right guys, let's do this team on three, because that's a symbolism, right, of him buying in, of him agreeing to run, and then there's the and then there's the fast break of Magic leaving it behind Kareem and then him dunking it. Question about that scene.
Sure.
10-foot rim?
Maybe 9? Maybe 8? I don't know.
Again, Dr. Solomon Hughes, 6'10".
Yeah, yeah.
So anything lower than a 10-foot rim would look really weird on him.
Right.
At the same time, I watched it and I was like, I know he's 6'10". That was too easy of a dunk. He's in shape. It seems like he really plays basketball. So maybe he's built like that. So maybe he's that kind of guy. But also, 9.5? Like, no one's checking, right? No one's on set checking the accuracy of how tall these rims are.
Yeah, they got those huffy ones, so where you can adjust them incrementally, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, maybe 9.5? Like, we're not going to notice, right? But if you've ever barely dunked in your life, it's a world of difference, 10 feet and 9.5 feet. So, again, I'm not sure. Not taking anything away from them, but that dunk looked a little way too easy for me.
To be fair to Dr. Solomon Hughes, he did play some collegiate ball. I think he played for the University of California. Yeah?
So did I.
But you weren't a Harlem Globetrotter. He was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a 6'11 Harlem Globetrotter for a bit, and then he became a doctor. So
then he became a doctor.
Yeah. So maybe, right. maybe he's doing 9.5 feet dunks.
Okay. There's a lot of benchability on this show. It's this theory that I proposed years and years and years ago when I was just an upstart writer for Slam, and I was writing. Miko Halili was my editor at the time, and you know, I had told him about my theory. I was like, my theory is every team has to put a premium on benchability. He's like, what's benchability? It's like, it's the willingness of the right number of guys to be benched the right number of minutes per game. Meaning, there has to be some players on your team that if and when they get benched, they don't mind it. They're not out there hunting for minutes. They're not out there upset or resentful that they didn't get more minutes. Would they like more minutes? Sure. And they'll try to make the most of it. If they don't get any, they don't expect it. It's all good because they're benchable. Right. And I think there's great value to that. And I want to give a shout out to Adrian Brody, who's been extremely benchable ever since we met him. What was that? Episode 3? Yeah, we met him in episode 3. There was a lot of ISO for our guy, the Oscar winner, Adrian Brody, by the way. I don't want to talk Oscars right now.
No. Enough. It's enough of that. No.
No. I'll slap someone in the face if they want to talk Oscars. Talk about something else. But yeah, after episode 3, though, in episode 4 and in episode 5, very benchable, Adrian Brody. Way to play with the team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's taking the lead of Jason Clark, right? Who
Yeah.
has combined, what, 5 minutes in the past 2 episodes? He's just going fishing and getting locked out of gym rooms.
Yeah, and one of those 5 minutes was the two of them together, just these two guys who've had episodes all their own on this show, just like taking a backseat to Jack McKinney and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But the great part about this show, and I think what we keep circling back on, is the benchability of some world-class talent that, one, I don't think you really expect to be on a TV show, even though it is a prestige TV show. And mm-hmm. two, you don't expect to be playing such small bits in some of these episodes.
Right.
Sally Field was in another scene in episode 5. And I'm convinced she shot all of her scenes in one day because it's all at the same place. It's all at the same place. It's all at her house, apartment, yeah. whatever it is. And, you know, there's a scene with her and Jeannie Buss, and she's like, no, I don't want to. Like, you could kind of tell that, you know, maybe she's not all there. She's starting to forget things. And then she comes up with this excuse. I don't want to go, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, Sally Field, just getting put in there at the end of the third quarter to cook for like one possession.
Yeah.
And then go back to the bench for us to never see again. It's impressive.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Yeah. To that point, you have this pool of like really great character actors, but then your leads are all nobodies. Well, I don't want to use the word nobodies, but then we haven't heard of these people. These are first time actors.
Right. Quincy Isaiah, Dr. Yeah. Solomon Hughes, Norm Nixon's son.
Yeah, and his biceps.
Great job by him. You know, it's really this constellation of talent that is, look, telling this story, and they're all really taking turns, because even our guy, even our dude, one Mr. Jerry Buss, one Mr. John C. Reilly, in episode 5, he has that tantrum at the bar where, you know, the bartender flap doesn't seal flush to it. He has that moment with his partner Frank. Sure, you know, he has a couple great above average, some solid scenes, mm-hmm. but you know, apart from that, we've seen a lot less of him than we did in the first two episodes. And I don't think the show is any less because of it, because we're not seeing any of these big name actors as much as we expected. That must be really difficult to achieve, and I think it's a true achievement of the show so far.
It is, yeah, definitely. I mean, kudos to the casting of this show. Absolutely impeccable.
How much of it do you think is, you know, a matter of when they were doing the casting of the show, they were saying, oh, hey, by the way, you guys are all just going to work maybe a week, just a week. 2 weeks. Yeah. We'll spread it out. Don't worry about it. But you'll be on an HBO show. And you get to watch any Laker game you want ever.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds a good deal.
It's 5 episodes in. We're at the halfway point now. Mm-hmm. So that means there's 5 episodes left. Again, the timeline of this show is moving a lot slower than what I had initially expected based off of the very first scene of the show. The very first scene of the show is a flash forward to Quincy Isaiah Magic. I'm assuming getting his HIV result, right? Mm-hmm. That's in 1991.
Yeah.
And we're 5 episodes in and we're only 2 games into the season.
Yeah.
His rookie season, 1980. There's been no sign of Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. There's been no sign of James Worthy. There's been no sign of, you know, Pat Riley isn't their coach yet. There's a pace to this that I'm like, oh, well, okay, what's going to happen the last 5 episodes then? Is this going to be like one of those Game of Thrones things where after one episode, you know, just Khaleesi just travels like 2 years worth of like ship rides in just like one episode? What's going to happen here? Are you concerned at all about the pacing of it, and where do you think this is going to end up?
I don't know. I thought there was going to be a miniseries. Be honest, I thought that we were just going to cover the whole Lakers dynasty in a span of 10 episodes, but it's starting to feel like there's going to be more seasons.
Oh, you think so?
Per season? I don't know, because I don't want to cram all those championships in 5 episodes and get the AIDS diagnosis as well.
Let me check on officially. Let me do my proper research here.
Sure.
on Wikipedia, where I believe everything I read. It says, Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty is an American sports drama television series. Doesn't say miniseries.
I see.
Doesn't say miniseries. Now, let's check something that we know is a miniseries. Like, oh, I don't know, an HBO masterpiece, Mayor of Easttown. On Wikipedia, where I believe everything I read. Mayor of Easttown is an American crime drama limited series.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good, then.
That's good.
Yeah, more winning time.
I like that. More winning... See, I told you. I told you. Eventually, I was going to get you to become a Laker fan, even if it's
I'm a
just,
fan of the show. I'm a even fan if of the it, show. Let's relax.
Okay. Yeah. So, season two, already in talks.
In talks. Okay.
I think at the rate that they're going, they probably have a green light already, and we're just like unable to find it online. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what we're feeling about the show so far at the halfway point, midway. Is this everything you expected? More than you expected? Less than what you expected? Not what you expected at all? Five episodes in.
I expected more basketball, to be honest. Okay. I thought it was going to be more about the games, more about... You know, I thought it was going to be a sports drama, but it's more of a sports business drama, which is... Something,
situational, right?
Yeah, a lot more interesting, a lot more something we definitely need a lot more of. This show, it's perfect for guys like me who have like lots of facts to tell their uninterested significant other. Right? I mean, pointing out every 5 minutes, oh, this actor did this, this is the player who did that, this is the coach who gets hit, and just like zero retention in the brain of the person you're watching it with. Yeah, that's me. That's what this show is.
In the meantime, your significant other is just on their phone the entire time, and then when they do look up, it's just like some R-rated, dirty, completely vulgar sex scene that is in a vacuum of its own, by the way, and is almost unrelated to any plot point whatsoever. And they're like, what are we watching? Is that what it's been like for you? Because that's happened once or twice in this household. I will tell you that much. Got to give it to episode 5, though. No nudity? Well...
Spencer Haywood? We saw some Spencer Haywood wood.
We didn't see any of the wood, right? We saw a lot of butt. Thankfully, but no, Magic did not get busy in this episode. So
no,
so that's
100% devoted to the game in this episode.
That's one, and then two. There's no real kind of connection so far to anything that's going to happen with other players, with other teams. It's really just kind of, because in the earlier episodes there was the Red Auerbach part of it. There was some conversation vaguely about Larry Bird and the Celtics, but so far, at least up until, you know, episode 5, it's really been super Laker centric. Again, we said there was some mention of the Clippers. The Bulls appeared to get dunked on by Kareem. But apart from that, nothing else has been mentioned so far. I've been enjoying this TV show, obviously, the last 5 weeks. But over the last week or so, I had discovered that Jackie McMullen, who one of the more prominent, well-connected reporters probably ever, but especially during this era of basketball for the Celtics and the Lakers, she took over the Ringer's Book of Basketball 2.0 podcast feed and is doing a podcast called, a podcast documentary called The Icons Club, where she talks about this like elite brand of basketball superstar. And her latest episode is about Magic and Larry Bird. And it's really interesting. The episode before that was about Dr. J, and she touched upon Spencer Haywood suing the league, and being the exception and the hardship rule, being able to enter you know, professional basketball without having a 4-year degree, which was the rule at that time. So I think that's a good recommendation that I have. That's a good companion piece to go along with the TV show, is to maybe listen to that and maybe get a little bit of a history lesson. It's done really well. Jackie Mack, I love her. God bless her. There have been lots of times where she wasn't my favorite basketball journalist. She so obviously just hates the Lakers. But can't deny it. She's great at what she does, and it's a great podcast. I'm not sure if you've heard it.
No, I haven't, but I will now.
Yeah, It's good. All right. Okay. Looking forward, before we wrap this up, the next episodes are entitled Memento Mori, whatever that's supposed to mean, Invisible Man, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, Acceptable Loss, and the season finale is going to be called Promised Land. What are our thoughts about what is up next for Winning Time?
Are we getting Michael Jackson? Don't Stop Till You Get Enough?
Are we getting Michael Jackson?
Are we? I don't know. I don't know. I have a question, though. Because looking ahead, though, we did see, just to go back to Pat Riley, because I can't leave Pat Riley. We did see like a second of him slicking his hair back.
And just looking at it?
Yeah. That was good. That was my favorite scene. More than the hug after the sky hook. That was great. But then I kind of want to talk about Chick Hearns for a bit, because apparently this guy invented the word slam dunk.
He did.
And cookies in a jar and all that. So what is it like seeing Chick Hearns and apparently him being an asshole who likes fisting?
Total prick.
Yeah.
Total prick, by the way. Another reference to my profession.
Right, yeah.
I appreciated it when it was Pat Riley showing everyone how hard it is to actually do TV work for a basketball game. I was like, man, mad respect to Winning Time for showing how tough it is. And then now we're all kind of just painted as just like giant a-holes who are wildly self-centered and vain. I've never done the... you go, you shut up, you go, you shut up thing to any color commentator that I've ever worked with. Do I know people who do that? Absolutely, I know people who do that. They're all either bad at their job or over the age of 65. It's fun seeing that side of basketball be celebrated. Obviously, I'm biased. And Chick Hearn, you can't do play-by-play without crediting Chick Hearn as one of your heroes.
Right.
Every other report about him says he's a nice guy. But, you know, again, I don't care much for the accuracy of how these people are depicted. As far as the character on a TV show, I think it's really great. I think the more that Pat Riley gets pushed down and pushed down to be a loser, just fuels whatever his, like, arc is going to be, his rise as a slick back Gucci suited phoenix is gonna be, and I can't wait for it.
Right
You know, the other thing I've been starting to question ever since I saw the attempted slick back of our guy Adrian Brody, you know what I'm thinking now, which is crazy? What? To think
what
I'm like, is Adrian Brody good looking enough to be the good looking Pat Riley? Because he's proven he's loser enough to play the loser Pat Riley. Like, when he puts on this suit and when he slicks that hair back, is he going to be, am I going to be like, that's right, that's Pat Riley? Because 80s Pat Riley, look, Pat Riley right now would, like, sorry, Pitbull, but that's Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Right. Gotcha.
Like, you would not leave your girlfriend next to Pat Riley alone in a bar in 2022. No way. So I'm really curious. I'm really excited for Pat Riley to be Pat Riley on the show.
Did he still have the mustache when he started coaching the Lakers? Or did he shave that off?
He's got to, right? He's got to. I mean, that's got to be something that he has to get rid of. Okay, other people that we are yet to meet on this show. Bo Burnham is, like, he's the guy who did that Netflix special, right?
Yeah. I thought he was supposed to be Larry Bird, but then he dropped out, didn't he?
Oh, all right. Okay, that's my mistake. Mike Epps, is he supposed to be on this show?
Mike Epps is here? As what? As who?
I have no idea. I'm looking at, again, Wikipedia, where I've been. yeah, there you go. So I should have kept reading because it says Bo Burnham dropped out. But in terms of celebrities, still no Jack. We've met Paula Abdul. We're supposed to meet... Dionne Warwick was mentioned. I expect we're going to meet her pretty soon. And the big question, are we getting Michael Jackson? If they do Michael Jackson,
yeah.
Should it be like a talking, speaking Michael Jackson, or should it be just like the shoulder of Michael Jackson and the corner of his face and just like him walking through the forum going, hee hee? Like, or should they do like an actual character, like this actor is playing Michael Jackson?
I think they should just show him on courtside seats.
Lines?
No lines.
From across the forum, from across the stadium, just like a partial zoom in on Michael Jackson just clapping his hand.
Yeah, like the way they did the Kobe. The Kobe one was really tasteful. That was a good one.
They showed a kid. They showed a kid. What else are they supposed to do?
They showed a kid with an accurate hairline. I mean, baby Frobie.
He did kind of look like
yeah,
baby Kobe. From this point forward, every episode will be, as usual, of course, written by the creators, Max Bornstein and Rodney Barnes. Max Bornstein is the creator of the show. Rodney Barnes with him as the lead writers for the show. And it culminates on May 8th, 2002. Episode 6 comes out April 10th. That's April 11th for us. On HBO Go, we invite you to keep watching and we invite you to keep listening to our recaps of Winning Time. That's it. That's two episodes. We're all caught up now. And we'll catch you guys again next Tuesday for the next recap of Episode 6 of Winning Time. The rise of the Lakers dynasty. The rise of the amigo Toby from HR's Laker fandom. We're getting there. Thanks a lot for listening, folks. We'll catch you guys again next week. Be safe.
See ya.
Check it out. Move.